Hey everyone, it's Ariel Helwani, and I wanted to let you know that each and every week, I'm part of a great program called The Ringer MMA Show. I host it alongside two absolutely brilliant minds. Their names, Chuck Mendenhall and Pete C. Carroll, and every Thursday, a new episode drops where we preview the weekend in mixed martial arts and react to all the biggest news. Plus, after every UFC pay-per-view, we give you a post-fight show. So, this is what you have to do. Just follow The Ringer MMA Show on your Spotify app so you don't miss an episode. We'll talk to you then.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Peter Rosenberg!
Shout out to that guy, Red.
The majesty.
Oh my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
A 1,000% confirmed.
Mage.
Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
Mage.
Male.
Major.
Mage.
It's still rooted.
Mage.
Male.
Major.
Mage.
It's still rooted.
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
I like a delicious chicken.
It was repug.
It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Something Going On Friday, Dipper Lago edition. Is this the first one ever at Dipper Lago?
I think so. I think this might be the first time we're doing this at DRL.
We did it at Dipperland Ranch.
Yes. Or no, Dipperstein Towers, but you named it
Dipper. Dipperland Ranch was so much funnier than Dipperstein Towers. We did an episode there. That's where I famously did The Edge singing was there.
Yeah, we did it at my kitchen table.
Yeah, we did. And didn't have microphones. It was like a repug sounding bad episode. This one should sound good. Welcome to the program, everyone. Dipper, how was your day at the office?
Oh, you know, I'm agenting up a storm. I feel like you probably went into my refrigerator.
Yep.
You know, 40 times today, hoping that something would show up in there. But unfortunately, there is nothing in there except beer. High noons.
Do you eat every meal out?
Yes.
Every meal?
Yes.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
I don't eat breakfast.
But you have lunch and dinner out every day?
Yes.
So you never are stuck relying on what's here?
I will occasionally, there's a leftover situation or like a bagel, a frozen bagel.
Guess what? Had one yesterday. Are they from Hank's or no?
There is some frozen Hank's in there.
I had one that was pretty good.
Yeah?
I overtoasted a little bit. Oh. I
throw it out. You overtoast, you throw it right out.
I enjoyed your off-brand whipped cream cheese, though.
That was part of a gift.
It was nice.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad at it.
Yeah.
Now, I do have to say, what's remarkable, in spite of the fact that you don't eat here at all, It is unusual to go to a home and there's not one piece of fruit in the home. That is unusual, I believe.
I must reveal to the audience, to the Cheap Heat audience, that I don't like fruit.
Oh, my.
I do not eat fruit.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
No fruit?
None. If there's a charcuterie board and there's a blackberry or a raspberry, I may pick it up and eat it.
What about a raisin situation?
I haven't had a raisin since the 90s.
Wow. And grapes of no interest?
I like cotton candy grapes.
Grapes or J's?
They're not grapes. They're actually
grapes plus.
They are the definition of grapes plus. If people listening to this podcast don't know what a cotton candy grape is,
it's worth investigating.
You're absolutely missing out. There is some farm that is growing these grapes that taste like cotton candy. Who knows what's going on with these grapes? There is poison up a storm.
Yeah, they're poisoning and poisoning.
Yeah,
but I will tell you, they're delicious. The only annoying thing is
they're a fortune. They're like $27 a bag.
They've got incredibly expensive, of course, yeah. And calorically, they're much worse than regular grapes. Sugar up a storm. Even more so than regular grapes. A lot more sugar.
Yeah.
I looked it up. At Weight Watchers points, it was not great.
I haven't bought a grape, a thing of grapes, maybe ever.
Bananas?
I don't eat bananas anymore. I like the essence of banana. I like banana flavor. My favorite runt was the banana runt.
Oh, so that shows some interest in banana. Natalie is making banana bread. She made banana bread as we...
I like banana bread. Things that have the essence of banana but aren't the actual banana, I'm here for it.
You like the flavor. You don't like the texture.
No, I don't mind the texture, but I'm never going to go, I'm hungry. I need a snack.
Right,
let me grab a banana.
How about this? You go to the grocery store and you get yourself the pre-sliced mango. You wouldn't, for a snack, grab a couple pieces of mango?
My new thing is I like a dried mango.
Oh, well, that's not even close to fruit. That's straight up candy. The sugared?
No, I don't buy...
Strawberries, blueberries?
Never.
Mango, no.
No.
How about a melon?
A melon. What am I, cutting a melon in this house?
No, what if you get the pre-sliced melon, like in the plastic?
Never.
You got...
All this stuff is fattening with sugar and...
No, it's not. See, people misconstrue that. Yes, it has sugar. And if you're someone who does really badly breaking down sugar, then okay. But for the average person, in spite of the sugar, for example, in Weight Watchers terms, fruit has 0 points. I can eat fruit all day long and I will lose weight.
Really?
Correct.
Huh. Maybe I should start eating fruit.
Dude, if you find delicious ones and your whole day is you eat fruit and then you eat like some vegetables and some meat and that's kind of your day... Let me tell you something. This is something my mom and dad used to say to me. It's very true about fruit and about other things. I'd be like, oh, I don't know, you know, watermelon. It has so much sugar in it. And they'd go, listen, no one's getting morbidly obese eating watermelon. It's not. That's not what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm so fat. I've been eating fruit nonstop.
I don't like vegetables either. I got to be honest. Like, you know, if you know, when I was little, my parents would cook every night. You know, they're very big cooking people. And it was always you got to eat the vegetables. You got to eat the fruit. Brian, eat this, eat that. It was a definitive no. There was no negotiating to eat vegetables and fruit.
And your parents would just eventually give up?
Yeah.
So that's the problem. I'm very confident that I'm going to be able to, when I parent, when the time comes, when there's a little Miss Hatton or Mr. Hatton, whatever it is, I'm very confident that when the kids play the not eating game, I'm going to be the rare parent who's able to be like, all right, you don't have to eat. Go to bed. You're fine. You'll eat next time. They can literally go days without eating. A week, 2 weeks.
You know
eating.
Me. I fast for a week. I don't. You know.
Exactly. They'll be fine. But the thing is, I've watched this with so many people listening right now. Don't feel bad. You know how many loved ones I have who cannot get their kids to eat food? Their kids only eat French fries or mac and cheese. That is all they will eat. I know it's hard, and it's easier said than done when you don't have kids. And I'm probably going to get emails about this. But I'm telling you, the one advantage there will be to me having kids at an older age is I've watched this over and over and over. I've trained myself.
Yeah.
I'm not letting the kids pull a Dipperstein, so when they're 38 years old, in your case, 35, there's not one grape in the house. You got to have a grape in the house. You got to have a watermelon in the house. You got to have a mango, an orange. How about an apple? How about just 3 apples in the drawer? You
don't like an apple anymore. I mean, I don't. I mean, when I was growing up, my parents had been. They always had bananas, but that was it. There was very rarely an apple in the home. There was never an orange.
Saying the likelihood that Carlito could have lived in your house, zero.
Very low.
Yeah.
Very
no
low.
Carlito.
Yeah, I mean, it's not satisfying. You know, it's not, I don't find it satisfying. I also don't like water. I don't like drinking water. It doesn't taste like anything.
Hold on, my mom's calling. Hello?
Hey.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. How are you? Are you busy?
I'm actually doing my wrestling podcast right now, which you're currently being recorded on.
Oh, okay. Goodbye.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine. I just was checking in.
Are you guys in Delaware?
No, we're home.
Okay, great, great. Yes, my parents vacation in Delaware, in case you're wondering. Mom, one question for you. When I was when I was young, was I good about eating fruit?
Yeah, you ate some fruit. I wouldn't say you were fabulous, but you were good.
Dipperstein does not have one grape or apple in his house. Nothing. There's not a fruit to be found. Yeah, closer to Nick than me, certainly. And how was I? I wasn't bad with vegetables either, right?
You were pretty diversified in your eating.
Thank you. I've maintained that, too.
Yeah, much more so than a lot of kids that I know.
Thank you very much. You mean, is that a nasty shot at my nephew, Alex?
No.
All right, Mom, love you. I'll call you back.
All right, bye. Bye.
What do we think that
my mom's first appearance on GP.
What do you think my mother's dissertation on this would be? Should we?
You want me to call her?
Let me call. I'm going to call her.
All right.
Can we do the same thing with
it? Yeah, you just put it on speaker and put it right up to your phone.
Oh, okay.
This is, by the way, I already know the name of this episode. So Troy, don't ask me. You know what the name of the episode is? Fruitless. A fruitless episode of GP. All right, put it right next to the phone. You next to the phone and that next to the phone. There you go. I mean the mic.
Hi.
Hey, I just, Mom.
Yeah?
You're currently on the Cheap Heat podcast.
What am I doing on the hot podcast?
You're on the podcast currently. It's being recorded. Question for you. What was I like eating fruits and vegetables as a child? Was I good with fruits and vegetables? What's your recollection of my fruit and vegetable life as a child?
I mean, I guess it was pretty normal. I don't remember forcing food down your throat or having to trick you with food and say, oh, it's this and it's not that.
Well, let me ask you, what was the game? Remember we used to play a game to get me to eat? Do you remember what that game was?
Oh, yeah, we used to do, of course, we used to do wrestling trivia from that game that Barbara and Marvin Lindenbaum bought you.
There was a wrestling trivia game.
And that's how you used to memorize every little thing, and it was a game with flashcards, but it was the wrestling for flashcards.
Right, but it was the cards, and I used to, yeah.
You have them in your garage.
See, there you go. Mary, he doesn't have one fruit in his house.
Oh, well, you know what? That you're right. So, yes, you're right. He doesn't, because he doesn't snack on fruit. That he's not a snacker of fruit like that.
No. She knows I'm not a fruit snacker.
Not at all.
No, you're not. No, you never were that. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like chips. I was raised on chips, on barbecue chips.
But when I would make you a waffle or something, we would always, you know, you would have... If I was preparing something for you or Daddy, it would be some fruit on the side for sure. But yes.
Yeah, don't make your mom sound like she just fed you chips, you animals.
Well, I know, but she would try to with fruits and vegetables, and we always had bananas. But I don't like fruits and vegetables. I just don't like them. Grammy doesn't either. I got that from her.
I guess. It's not a snack for you.
Yeah. All right.
This has been very telling.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll talk to you later. Everything's fine.
Okay. Hi, Peter.
Hi. Okay.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Very
good. Enjoy. Okay. Good. You sound good.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Love you.
You sound good.
She's obsessed with how I'm sounding.
Well, yeah. because you didn't sigh.
No, there was no sigh.
By the way, I want everyone to know, this morning I popped up. I'm not, this trip is so short, I'm not adjusting at all. I'm waking up at 7 o'clock. It's over. Like I'm leaving tomorrow already.
Yeah.
So I've been waking up super early, like 7 o'clock. And which sucks because I took off work the last 2 days, so I could have slept as late as I wanted. But of course, I was up anyway. But this morning, I heard Dip audibly sighing by himself.
So you know, it's not a put on. No, I actually do it.
I'm sitting in bed and I hear him either upstairs or downstairs when he was moving around, just like. And by the way, keep in mind it's 8 a.m. Nothing's even happened yet, and you're sighing.
Yeah, mornings are really tough for me. Everything's racing through my mind in that shower.
Well, yeah, let's be honest. Let's get to the real crux of this episode. I mean, last night we were going and going a Jace.
Confirm going and going. Yeah.
We vintage. All right, we'll take you through the night briefly. I hosted an event for 2K celebrating the release of WWE 2K23, and it was in conjunction with 316 Day. Steve Austin was there. It was done at this El Segundo Brewery. And Steve Austin's Broken Skull beer was the main drink, and it was a whole thing. It was a great, I got to tell you, shouts to 2K, fantastic gig. Literally just hanging out, jumping on the mic, and seeing Steve Austin and being Midge. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, every single time I see Stone Cold in person, which is not that often, but I've seen him maybe three or four times now in person standing right next to him, he's gigantic. I mean, you just don't realize. I mean, I consider him kind of like a mid-sized guy or
They're
even
not,
a,
none of them are mid-sized.
Right, but like I'm saying, you know, if you watch them in their prime, in the ring, he's not like a giant.
No.
You meet him, he's gargantuan.
The only ones that aren't gargantuan in real life are like the ones that are definitively small.
Yeah, Ray.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to be like straight up tiny to not be big. You know, even Max, for example, on TV, he looks cut, but he doesn't look big relative to other people in size. And then when you see him in real life, you're like, this guy's, depending on what he's wearing, you're like, this guy's gargantuan. Who is this?
Yeah, he looks like a wrestler.
He looks like a pro wrestler.
Oh, yeah. Even more.
Yeah, now he's freakish. Mm-hmm. Steve Austin is one of the nicest big stars in any field I've ever
met. Yes, for someone who's on the Mount Rush of what he does and did.
Yes.
He is one of the most friendly, normal, and nicest people I've ever encountered.
He seems, you know what, Steve?
He gets it.
Steve Austin, but when you say he gets it, I think the it you're referring to is like life.
Yeah.
He is happy. He at least that's how he seems. I do not know the man, you know, on a super personal level, but in my many interactions with him over the years, he seems like someone who knows how he's perceived, who knows how successful he is, and seems satisfied. He doesn't seem like he's wanting for more. And you guys have to understand, as you've been on my psychological and emotional journey for many years, the level of admiration I have for someone in the entertainment business who doesn't seem desperate for more. You don't understand. 80% of the people that you love and think are Mage are miserable and want more. You know, at least on some level. I am on some level. Not miserable, but I'm always seeking more. Steve just seems like, I'm the man. I don't need to be anything to anyone. I'm the man. Like, it's been great. What do I need to do? I need to act rude to people? No. He was friendly to every single person.
Yes.
And like there were a couple of times when we were both around people and he'd come and whisper in my ear, what's this person's name? What do they do?
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah. Because he wants to know. He wants to be on point. He wants to call people by their name. You said he gets it. He gets it.
Yeah.
How he's not involved in, and I didn't ask him this, how he's not involved in WrestleMania this year with the kind of shape he's in. And
He looks amazing.
I don't get it.
So crazy. I don't know. Let me tell you another thing that looks amazing. This new video game, I know it came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. This is the most beautiful. This is the most advanced and beautiful I have ever seen a wrestling game. I mean, I played it for 5 minutes. I played with Doink. I mean, this is one of the most Mage-looking games I have ever seen in my life. Shout-outs to 2K.
It looked crazy.
Crazy. I mean, if there was no like health bars or anything, whatever, you would think you were watching wrestling. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it really does look tremendous.
Next
Doink,
level.
By the way, looks like he's in great shape.
Doink is looking fantastic these days.
Yeah. So who else? What else was going on?
By the way, I love The Miz. I mean, I connect with The Miz.
Well, yeah, I mean, but
I love The Miz.
You know, but The Miz.
He's a great guy.
The Miz. Let me let everyone in on a little secret.
Okay.
The Miz possesses the number one quality Dipperstein loves. He loves Dipperstein. You can ask Dipperstein what makes someone a great guy. He won't come to it, but you will hear within moments, the guy loves me. So if you ever want to impress Dipperstein, just make it clear that you really are impressed by him. Which is what Dip gets a lot in his WWE interactions, is that, you know, WWE, a lot of the stars there don't know how Mage they are.
Right.
And don't have representation that represents that Mageness.
Yeah.
The Miz has given Hollywood enough of a shot, I think, to appreciate that Dip is the real deal. And he likes you. You're obviously very affable and friendly. But I think he's impressed by you also.
I appreciate that. I really like him, and I just think he's the best. And I think he is a freaking...
No, he's a lovely guy.
He's a legend, too. Okay, let's face it.
Well, his run now is...
He's one of the... He's one of the best of this generation and for the previous.
Speaking of which, though, and we'll get back to the party in a second. As you can tell, we're talking about really big, important issues today. I do have to say, my friend Robin Lundberg, who works for Sports Illustrated, and recently, he's always liked wrestling, but he's been clearly getting more into it and talking about it more. Robin's a really smart guy. He put up a post yesterday, though, talking about how Roman is the GOAT and how this storyline is the greatest storyline in wrestling history. And I got to tell you, it annoyed me.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
As great as I think he is. And I don't want this to be taken as an insult. It should not be taken as an insult that I don't think he's the number one guy, and I don't think this is the number one story.
I'd say straight up, he is not the number one guy.
And honestly, to assert so.
And I think he's mage.
I
have come around on him. My 180 on Roman Reigns from 2015 to 2023 is the biggest about face I have ever made about a wrestler.
Fair enough.
Is mage of the highest level.
Yes.
And is creeping into the top, sorry, SGG, 10 ever. But he is, you have to wait 20 years to figure out if someone is the GOAT.
I mean, why do you think I push back on Cena even still? It's too soon for me to even talk about Cena. Like, the idea that you can make a decision right now, and furthermore, there are so many pieces that have made Roman's run unbelievable, okay? It has not been a Roman solo effort, no pun intended.
No.
It has been a
no.
huge piece of Jey Uso.
The Shield.
Oh, if you're going all the way back. I'm only referring to right now. If you go back then, he was great in the Shield, and the Shield was very cool and notable, and they're an all-time notable faction. But if you go back to it, no one was talking about Roman Reigns being one of the greatest of all time during the Shield.
No, we were talking about, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not remembering history, but we were talking about Seth Rollins being the guy right out of the Shield in the very beginning.
Well, it depends. That's the controversy is, I think Roman at first was the most over in the Shield. And then when WWE got excited and pushed him so hard, it turned people off.
Mm-hmm.
But this run is...
I'm talking about wrestling fans, not like the populace. Like, I'm talking about like marks.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Yes, maybe. But even me, I was very into Roman, though. I thought he was really cool. Like, I did. Until they started shoving him, I thought he was the one. And then they were shoving and shoving.
Mm-hmm.
And my point is, beyond all of that, the only reason we're having a conversation about him being top five, top 10, the reason Robin Lundberg or other people would say number one is because of this run. And this run has been amazing, but there are huge factors you cannot ignore. You cannot ignore the fact that this started in the Thunderdome. This was based, Dip, we got an email on the podcast last Friday from a smart fan who basically said, if the pandemic doesn't happen and Roman has his WrestleMania match with Goldberg, that match might have been one of the all-time WrestleMania fails. Like Roman versus Goldberg at 36, which eventually got canceled. And what did Goldberg end up getting? Braun?
I think so.
If that was a Roman Reigns match versus Goldberg in front of a live crowd, it would have been like boot off the card. It would have been boot off TV.
I totally agree.
It would have been a disaster. Instead, the match doesn't happen. Roman goes away and comes back to the Thunderdome, or maybe at that point the PC, whatever it was. And what was that night? We were doing Cheap Heat live on a Friday. I was in Florida because WWE had up two pay-per-views a week apart. And we're watching doing the show. And we go, oh my God, Paul Heyman just showed up with Roman Reigns.
Oh yeah, I remember where I was. I was in the car when you
I told you, you I described saw me. It, right?
Yeah.
That was the beginning. And Roman has been amazing since then. He's put together, his character's evolved and evolved and evolved. But when you're talking about comparing him, for example, to Stone Cold Steve Austin, Stone Cold never, in the time that he was mage, never had a mouthpiece. Never had help. Stone Cold, sure, he had moments where...
Well, he had DiBiase when he was
right,
the ringmaster.
Exactly. Sure, he had DiBiase at the beginning when he was the taskmaster.
Let's go... Not to interrupt. And I know Roman Reigns had NXT, but dude, we're talking about Steve Austin here. Before he was Stone Cold Steve Austin, he was Stunning Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. And before that, he was Steve Austin. He had an incredible run in WCW.
Right. How mage was he during that time?
He was definitely the neck. He was being spoken about as the next up.
And he was the top of the mid-card, you'd say?
You know, quote, he's the wrestler for the 90s.
That's what people said?
I remember, I don't remember what I'm blanking on, I think it was a Super Brawl. I don't remember what the match was, but it was I think it was Dustin Rhodes versus Austin mm-hmm. at the time or whatever it was. And, you know, and JR would call him, you know, this is the wrestler of the 90s, you know, here he is, Stunning Steve Austin, the wrestler for the night, like the wrestler of the 90s. And that always stuck with me because he was so right. But I mean, he was so incredible back then. He was a great promo at the Hollywood Blondes with Pillman. He was a great technician back then against Steamboat and Dustin Rhodes and all those significant matches that he had. He was always a standout for me. And I, as a kid, you know, we're talking 91, 92, 93, 94. I was a huge Austin fan and, you know, like he was always an early favorite of mine.
So he had that. Then he has the brief thing in
TV title, tag titles with Pillman.
He had multiple titles. Yeah. And then he does the brief thing in ECW, which of course is notable and quick and mage.
Yeah.
And then shows up in WWE. Things aren't great. Eventually, it starts to build and build. King of the Ring, Bret Hart story, Shawn Michaels at Mania with Tyson involved. And we end up where we end up. But ultimately, he had a bunch of different dancing partners. But what he never had was a permanent person next to him or multiple people next to him. You just can't negate that. Dude, Hogan too. Hogan was Hogan. That was it. You know, like, I just think it's not fair to not give some credit to that. And again, I'm not
hilariously,
taking
it. Hilariously, the one person that Austin did have was Heyman.
Right. Dangerous Alliance for
Dangerous Alliance era.
So I don't know. I love Roman, but when people start having this short-term memory, let's be realistic for a second. And I understand me and Dip are not like everybody else, but Roman, most realistically, Roman could end up at, let's see, who's definitely ahead? Hogan.
Flair.
Austin.
It's in my opinion, Cena.
Rocky. You think Cena, because you're like, you have some weird, I don't understand.
I don't know. Undertaker. Michaels, Bret. Macho.
And in that category, the people that he could surpass when it's all said and done are Michaels, Bret.
I guess, dude.
He can. I mean, you have to remove our bias.
Shawn Michaels?
Bret and Shawn were not. He's already crossed over more than both of them, honestly.
Crossed over?
Yeah, like made it beyond just being a guy that only the most hardcore of wrestling fans know. He could get Pat. Savage would be a tough one to catch because Savage was so mainstream famous. But he could end up at 5 or 6. Like, I think that could be a goal. To crown him number one now, though, is like he'll need a whole nother thing.
You know how I feel about that stuff. I hate that.
Which part?
You need years to be judged that way.
Fair enough. And he needs something else besides just this. To me, that just this period where he's had. Dude, do you realize what Jey Uso has done in the Bloodline story? Don't just give me a yeah. It's Jey Uso has pulled off some of the best acting we've ever seen in a storyline.
In recent history, yes.
I don't know. Like, tell me the last time you saw a character in a storyline.
Bray, you know.
But that's a different kind of acting.
Different kind of thing. I am taking nothing away from the storyline.
Jay's the very rare, realistic feeling character on wrestling television.
I know.
His face, the way he reacts to stuff, the emotions, like
I know.
And then the best thing about the Uso story is when you interact with them, you realize how they came up with the characters because they're just complete extensions of who they are.
Yeah.
Remember you saw me see Jimmy at the bar last time, right?
Yep.
And you saw the way he reacts.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, what's up, Uso? Yeet, yeet, yeet. Like he's like he's Jimmy Uso all the time. And then you see Jay and he's like, yeah, what's up, Uso? And just keeps it moving. Like he's nice. He's totally nice. But he's not Jimmy. They are different in that regard.
Can I hot take? I can't tell them apart in person still.
You still can't?
No.
I used to not be able to tell.
Now, when their hair is not the way that it is on TV, I can't tell them apart. It's really funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, they are legit twins.
They look exactly alike.
They're shoot twins 1,000%.
They are shoot twins, but they really look alike in person.
No, I get it. It takes time. It takes time. Anyways, this is all just saying, everyone calm down. Roman will get reviewed in time. You know, it's like the same thing as everyone jumping out the window with the Max thing from a couple weeks ago. Give everything a moment to breathe in wrestling. It's not real life. It is performance art. It all needs time to be processed. You can't come out. Kendrick can't drop an album, and I go, this is the most classic album of all time.
Right.
I can say he's one of the best. I think it's going to be a classic. You cannot judge it in the moment.
No. No.
And
agreed.
People these days, that's the thing about social media, and I'm guilty of this too. I was doing it with the Chris Rock special. We want to comment, so we need to give a take immediately. It's not real. The truth is, it will be proven out over time.
Yeah.
What things are.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
You want to talk about the great Muda going into the Hall of Fame and how significant this is?
I think we brought it up last week and you literally didn't pay attention or care.
I got to say...
Or Tuesday we did.
I got to say, I do care, and it's going to make me want to go.
Oh, you did say that. You did say that. Was it officially announced? On the
yeah. Okay. The first... match, and I've said this on the podcast before, the first wrestling match I ever watched on a taped VHS was the Great Muta versus Doug Gilbert at WrestleWar 89. And I would watch, you know, his entrance, and I would run out of the room crying, and I had to shut my eyes because I was so scared of Muta.
More insight into the crazy person that is Dipperson.
But I never looked away. I never couldn't look away. So I it was like so scary at the time, but it was something I just could never look away from. So I would play it over and over and over and over again. That's one of my all-time favorite events. It's one of the greatest events.
Your mother should have taken you out of the room and given you a piece of fruit and called it a day.
Anyway, when Gary Hart would rip his mask off and you would see his painted face, it was like, as a kid, that was one of the scariest moments of my life.
It's a major moment. And Muda's a major... This is that, you know what? You might have to go.
I want to go. And I'll tell you, Muda was...
By the way, which is how Natalie says, like, she's in a bad mood.
I'm in a bad mood. he was the greatest... to hide the mist until it was absolutely necessary
He's a mist hider of the highest. He was hiding.
He was hiding the mist. He's on the Mount Rushmore of misting.
Oh, my God. Let's make it right now.
Okay.
Mount Rushmore of Mist.
Muda? I guess he could. I mean, is Asuka up there?
I mean, at this point,
yeah, she's got
to
be.
It's kind of hard not to.
Who else did?
Tajiri.
Yeah.
Fuji.
No. Nah.
I think Fuji did it in Killer Khan Hogan. Or was it Killer Khan who did it?
Killer Khan, I think, did it.
Killer Khan did it?
Yeah, I think so. Fuji would throw the powder.
Sorry. You know what? I'm embarrassed and I should resign from the show.
Yeah.
Correct. He's a big powder guy.
Killer Khan's did Mist?
I swear there was a Mist thing with Hogan. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's... Let's look that up. But anyway...
Dip gets concerned about the journalistic integrity in moments like this.
Yeah. I love Great Muta. I love the Great Muta. I am a gigantic fan of the Great Muta. He is on the Mount... He is on the Dipperstein Mount Rushmore, for sure. So.
All right, on this day... 35 years ago, this was from 2022. It looks like this is... There we go. Yes. All right, Dip. I'm Mage. On this day, back in like 87, Hulk Hogan, WWF Champion Hulk Hogan, was confronted by Killer Khan on a Snake Pit episode.
Mm-hmm.
And blinded by green mist blown into his face by Killer Khan.
Can we maybe get that? Can we watch that? No, we don't have to watch it now, but let's try to get that on YouTube.
I would love to watch that.
Yeah.
It's Mage, what you're saying.
Yeah, Killer Khan, what an interesting person to talk about.
I saw him and Hogan in a cage.
Yeah, I remember you
it's
saying
a,
that.
It's a big deal. Okay. Dip, I want to tell you something. Now I want to go back to something personal that I have to tell you here on the podcast.
Mm.
I got to tell you... Yesterday, I dropped what I thought was kind of big news on you, and I feel like you no-sold it.
Mm, tell me.
I now keep in mind. I want to be clear. It was towards the end of the night, and those Steve Broken Skull Steve Austin beers will creep up on you.
They did, by the way. and I didn't even drink that much last night.
I know, and so I didn't realize that Dip had been slightly crept up on by the Steve Austin beer. But I revealed to you that you're going to be a groomsman at my wedding, and you borderline no-sold it.
I remember. I'm just remembering that now. That's so Mage,
dude. Do you know how many people I decided?
Thank you.
I made like a. Well, you were there standing with Ted, and I told you, and you were like, "Ah, cool," and just like kept going.
No,
I swear to you, I
remember the moment now.
I'm gonna hold on. Let's call Ted.
Okay.
Let's see if Ted felt this way. Hold on.
I'm very flattered.
Well, I figure that's why I brought it back up.
Beyond.
Let me see. Let's do. I wonder if Ted remembers.
Hi.
Hey, we're doing Cheap Heat right now. Is this Wrestling for Sale from GQ fame?
This is Wrestling for Sale.
Yeah. Ted, I want to ask you a question. I'm telling Dip right now that last night when I told him he was going to be a groomsman, I thought he absolutely no-sold me. What are your thoughts?
I was kind of shocked by the reaction.
I told you! It was a no-sell, no?
I mean, I don't know because I didn't have like the biggest wedding party, you know, like I think we had two people.
Oh, that's very big.
And then, you know, it is a nice honor.
Yeah.
For a friend to receive that. And he was just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever.
No, I was not.
Ted, thank you. We appreciate you. Ted, what time and where is the big heat and greet / Wrestling for Sale-a-thon WrestleMania weekend?
So it's at Button Mash.
It's
located in Echo Park on Sunset Boulevard.
All right.
We're going to open the doors at 1.
Okay.
People are free to shop my stuff, Matt Botvin, stash pages, and in-ring art.
Okay.
And then you, we're showing up, what, 4, 4.30?
Yeah, we're going to get started a little after 4 o'clock. Yep.
So there will be a 3 to 4 hour clothing thing, and then there will be the heat and greet.
Boom.
But there's great food. There's great drinks.
Oh, it's a great place.
Fun for 3 to 4.
Are we timing this correctly?
By the way, the owner.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Oh, he's a great guy. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ted. Okay. Wrestling for Sale.
Come back.
Told you. You know, sold it.
We're doing a live pod, right?
I don't know. It might be just a chat. It might be a live pod.
Yeah.
It's a Friday, so maybe we'll make it a Friday.
So I'm sorry if I know sold it. Let me tell you. I've been a groomsman a few times now in my life. I'm amazing at standing, doing the side stand thing, and making eye contact and reacting to situations with the crowd. I'm very good. I do very slight, subtle crowd work during the actual ceremony.
I believe Natalie and I already had a talk today because I informed Dip there's no rehearsal dinner, and he was very disappointed. And I'm like, I said, Natalie, you have to remember, Dip, he considers himself the host of the weekend. He's like the Miz of the wedding. He's gonna refer to the wedding that it says it takes place in the Silver Dome. But he means the Superdome. But so I said he's disappointed because the rehearsal dinner gives him the warm-up night. So people he gets to know people, can find alliances, and yeah. It makes the wedding performance that much better.
Yeah, that's right.
But the reason it's a big sell is that like my first wedding, I believe I had 11 or 12 groomsmen. It was crazy. We had a crazy situation.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was a complicated situation. But this time, Natalie is only having 5. So I'm down to 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically picked my brother's 1. So that's gone. So I'm down to 4.
Yeah.
Because my brother obviously.
Oh, wow.
So it's 4 people.
Mage.
And so I picked my childhood best friend, Ben Pleasure. You'll finally meet Ben Pleasure as groomsmen together.
What a name.
What a name. And then Chauncey and Judd. So basically, it's 3 of my high school best friends.
Me?
You and my brother.
Wow.
I mean, is that not an honor?
This is something.
I know. Why do you think I was like, oh my God.
You got to tell me something.
It was like I announced Rey Mysterio for the Hall of Fame. That's what it felt like.
Oh my God.
It's going to be big. It's going to be something. It's going to be something. And you want to hear the biggest honor, and I'm not saying this is going to happen because we have to discuss this, but it's still in principle, this is such an honor. So I said to Natalie, I was like, the unfortunate part is though, I was like, with no rehearsal dinner, I was like, Dip's not going to speak. Because like, I don't want a lot of speeches. Like,
why do you think I'm asking?
Exactly. I know. The rehearsal dinner he really wanted because of the speech. So I said to her, I was like, I don't see how Dip speaks. And Natalie goes, we already decided we're not doing a whole thing of speaking. And Natalie goes, I would love Dip to speak at the wedding.
Can I just say something declarative?
Yeah.
I speak when I want to speak at a wedding. Okay.
So if you decide to speak, you'll go up to Sife and like turn the music down for a second?
Yes. whether it's planned or not, I speak when I want to speak.
All right, all right. Don't. I won't make any determinations.
Yeah, you just leave it to me.
Yeah. Well, we definitively, though, here's what we're not doing. We're definitively not doing like a speaking time that lasts an hour. I've made that mistake before.
Yeah.
It's friggin' brutal. Now, listen.
Everyone hates that.
Now, granted, yours would be great and entertaining and people would love it. I guess what's important is, listen, I can't imagine my brother's going to want to talk that much. Natalie's sister, I can't imagine. Natalie's sister is not going to be doing. But by the way, do you want to do right now? Do you want to do pretend best man and maid of honor?
No, but hold on. My the worst thing you could ever hear, and it happens every time without fail, is for those of you that don't know me.
Oh, my God.
I hate for those of you that don't know me.
And that could be followed up by for those of you who didn't know Sarah when she was young.
Oh, that's another big one too. Yeah, that's big. That's big.
You know, we went to camp together. And that was before we went to Michigan together, and we were roommates, and I remember when Sarah met Paul, and I was like, what is it you see in Paul?
He was kind of a dog back in the day.
He wasn't like exactly what you think, and I remember she said to me, when I talk to him, I feel like the best version of myself. Shut up! I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, but the speeches can just be, you have to be good. I admit, I bombed at my brother's wedding, okay. I believe.
I have given.
I just want you to know, I referenced at my brother's wedding. I referenced the Holocaust and 9/11. That's not what you want to do.
I have given some of the greatest rehearsal dinner and wedding speeches of all time.
People They're
famous. They're on YouTube.
Yeah, Howie's is like a particular honor of yours, no?
Howie's rehearsal dinner speech for me is famous. It's one of the greatest accomplishments of my life. And I absolutely crushed it.
How long did you
go? I hosted the rehearsal. I was the host of the rehearsal.
Oh, you were the host.
I was the host of the rehearsal.
How long did you go for in your actual speech part?
5 minutes?
Not bad. Not so
less.
What do you think is the max time for a good speech at a wedding?
5 minutes at the most. At the very most. It's got to be 3 to 5 minutes.
Wow, 3 to 5.
Yeah.
Do you know the funny story about my friend Anthony's wedding recently? Did I tell you this?
No.
So my friend Anthony got married in June, I guess, the week after Natalie and I got engaged. Okay. And when I told Natalie, when I told Ballard, my friend, who's one of my friends, who's one of my groomsmen who you're replacing, who I have to tell is not a groomsman this time around, no one's going to care. No one would care either way. I'm just simplifying it. Old school friends and you. You know, I just simplify.
I'm flattered.
But so I tell Ballard, I'm like, hey, dude, I'm proposing to Natalie this week. And he's like, oh, wow, cool. Well, that's so great. Blah, blah, blah. Then a few minutes later, he calls me. And he's like, hey, man, I was just thinking, you know, it's great that you guys are so happy. You guys are getting engaged. He was like, I'm just a little worried that, like, you're going to upstage Anthony at the wedding in some way. Like, I don't want you to, like, you got to be mindful that
I know this story.
And I go, right. I go, what the hell are you talking about? I said, do you think I'm going to walk into Anthony's wedding a week later and be like, big announcement, everyone. I'm getting married. I said, what are you?
I know.
I said, what are you thinking? You're out of your mind.
This says a lot about what he thinks about.
That's why I was offended. So I was very offended. And then he was very apologetic. He was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. You're right. I know you know these things, Bob. He was like, it's just that, you know, you're the sort of famous guy in our group of friends. You cast a large shadow. I just want to be mindful of Anthony. I said, I get it.
Is it up to him to say this to you?
Because it's our little crew, right? So I get it. I go, okay. I was like, I hear you, but dude, I got it. I don't know how big of a douche you think I am.
I would never.
But like, I'm not going to, trust me, we're good. So he's like, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. No problem. Here comes the wedding. Go to the wedding.
The first thing you do is announce.
No. It's close. Go to the wedding. Having a great time. Really cool.
Yeah, I remember.
Anthony's best friend, Leon, speaks.
And he says something
about it. He goes through the speech, blah, blah, blah. And he makes a really funny joke about me. He's talking about how honored he was to become the best man. And he's like, look at all the people I beat out. Which is a good bit. He names this friend. He beat him out. He names this friend. He beat out. He's like, Peter Rosenberg. He's a celebrity. I beat him out, right? And I'm like, oh, that's very funny. And then he stops and goes, and by the way, Peter was engaged this week. Let's give him a round of applause.
I love that.
I'm sitting next to Ballard. I like slink down in my seat like, ugh. Anyways, Leon's speech, for example, I thought was really good, but it was probably around 10 minutes. You really think the best range is like 5-6 minutes.
Or less.
Or even less.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a
no one less. Wants to hear the speech.
Right. They hope they enjoy it. And if it's short, they go, that was great. But if it's great in 15 minutes, they walk away thinking it wasn't great.
Absolutely, no matter what they say.
No matter how good it was.
Yeah.
After 15 minutes, it's done. All right, let's hit a couple of mailbags and then go out to dinner in Los Angeles. AJ Coleman. Hey, SUG, Dip, and Pete, man, I love y'all very...
A Pete guy.
AJ's a Pete guy. I love y'all's varying takes and diverse opinions in the world of wrestling.
Stop. Stone Cold Steve Austin, not a Pete guy, I heard. He said Peter.
Oh, really?
Not a Pete guy. I wonder why. He feels like he'd be a Pete guy.
He really does. He's like, but I have to say, y'all talk very little about what I think has great potential to be one of the top matches at Mania. You say you love the work of Rhea... But I think with the Knights, with the right opponents, she puts on some of the best matches in women's wrestling. So someone please explain what's with the disrespect. Stephen A. voice. What's with the disrespect?
On what? Sorry.
But what would like to know about more about what y'all think of her match at Mania. And hope y'all stay mage and can't wait till y'all come back to Vegas. Big y'all guy, AJ.
I just don't look. I have taken nothing away from Rhea Ripley. I think she's awesome. I think she's a seminal wrestler of this generation of this what we're living. You know what we're living through right now. But I'm a story guy. You know, there's no story with this match. So you know, I mean, they're just
That's it. That's all it is. Hold on. And by the way, I got to remind you, AJ. And I am excited. I think they'll put on a good match. You got to remember. This is a repeat match from like 3 years ago.
Yeah, they did this already.
They did this
when Rhea was like a slightly less signif, but now she's more signif.
Yeah, but they did it at the PC.
When she was at the NXT champion. Yeah.
So I'm excited. She's a different Rhea for sure. But can I tell you the other problem? Rhea's such a mage heel right now, and Charlotte is like a tweener again.
But they're not including really. Tell me if I missed something. They're not really including the Judgment Day in any sort of significant story with Charlotte. So it's like, what are we seeing then? I mean, what a missed opportunity to for the Judgment Day to be judgy with Charlotte.
I want them judging and judging.
Yeah, we want some sort of purple activity with Charlotte.
Jonathan says, on WrestleMania 2023 excitement levels, there's the raw material for a top shelf dip drop at 1934. I'd isolate it if I had the tech. Dip's explaining his rating for Brock versus Omas. Could be a major addition to the board. Thanks to the three of you for your awesome show. I've been listening since the Shoemaker, Greg, the Virgin days, and Cheap Heat has been a huge part of getting me back into wrestling. Take it easy, man. John, thank you. I appreciate that so much, and so much so, my belief in you is so strong that I am going to look up what you're referring to.
What are you talking about?
He said you said something in the last episode at 1934 that's like serious... No, this it wasn't this week then.
It was it was the time before that.
Oh, it is. Here we go. All right, here we go. Here we go. What a great show this is. All right, here we go.
I'm not particularly high there either, unfortunately. Even though I think it'd be a great match, but again,
yeah, sure.
Story. Brock versus Omos with MVP.
4.5.
Really?
I like to see the big men.
I know.
That's got to be it. Yep, it is. Good call, Jonathan. I like to see the big men is mage.
You're watching WrestleMania. You want to see two colossal people wrestle each other.
Like the Colossus, the Nigerian giant.
Yes.
I agree with you 100%.
And by the way, people talk-ish about The Undertaker and Giant Gonzalez. Got to tell you, that was quite the visual.
It was a great visual. Hard match. But, Omos should wear the skin chest hair outfit.
By the way, talking about something that should be found on WWE Treasures.
That's a great point.
Where is that suit?
The Giant Gonzalez thing?
Yeah.
That would be mage, dude.
Yeah, I wonder if it fit me.
Me too. Three of you. All right, that'll do it, guys. We've really enjoyed this. I hope you've enjoyed the randomness live from Dipper Lago. And we're going to go now tonight and check out the other nicest, most mage person ever, T-Pain. We're going to have a great time.
I mean, he's a mage individual.
Oh, shout out to Will Sasso, by the way, who came up and professed his love for the podcast yesterday. Does Drunkerstein remember this?
Yeah.
We didn't know who he was.
Dip Flair was on Fleek last night.
No, Dip Flair was rolling. And this guy comes up and professes his love for the podcast. And I think Will be complimented by me saying this. He seemed like a lovely guy, but he's like a random, random, nice, nerdy wrestling fan. And then he introduces his wife, and he has this beautiful wife. And I go, well, what's going on with this guy? And then shout out to Jamie Ivey. And Jamie's like, I think that's Will Sasso. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it was Will Sasso, the very talented and funny gentleman. Host himself. So, Will, thanks for the love, dude. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Will Sasso. You're a great guy.
All right, everyone. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. We'll catch you on Tuesday. Do me a favor. Stay mage.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And?
Stay mage.
Enjoy. You got to say a different one. Enjoy.
Yeah, enjoy. Yeah.